Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. First, a correction. Just before the news, I said that this skyscraper war that's breaking out in Midtown is over a proposed building that would go higher than the Empire State Building. That is actually wrong. It would be just shorter than the Empire State Building. Now we're told 34 feet shorter than the Empire State Building. There is still the controversy over whether it would ruin the skyline, as some critics say, including, surprise, surprise, the owner of the Empire State Building. But we will talk about that later in the hour. But I just wanted to correct that this proposed building is not to be higher than the Empire State Building, but just a teeny bit shorter. Meanwhile, another set of primaries has come and gone, another set of mixed messages sent by voters around the country. Take Politics Daily's headline today. Establishment candidates, insurgents, both score in Tuesday's primaries. Voters in Florida, Alaska, and Arizona took to the polls and closely watched primaries for Congress, Senate, and governor. There were also elections in Oklahoma and Vermont. By the way, how many of you would have guessed that Vermont has an incumbent Republican governor? Vermont. The point is, there are tea leaves and tea parties. It's not just entirely clear what the tea leaves are telling us about the upcoming general midterm elections. Melinda Henneberger is the editor-in-chief of PoliticsDaily.com. She joins us now to see what message was sent by voters yesterday. And then we will talk to all three Republicans vying to run against Senator Kirsten Gillibrand here in New York. There is, of course, the September 14th New York primary. We will talk to all three candidates who want to be that Republican opponent to Senator Gillibrand. But Melinda Henneberger, welcome back to WNYC. Hi there.
Thank you for having me.
And your site managed to play both sides in that headline.
Well, that's what we always try to do, have all points of view in there.
What's the bottom line? Is it more that establishment candidates scored or that insurgent candidates scored?
It really was truly mixed. I don't think you could say one or the other. You know, we keep trying to say this is the year of the... First it was the insurgent, it was anti-incumbent, then it was no, the mainstream middle of the road is back, no. Then last night it was, tonight is the night of poor losers in the case of Bill McCollum and J.D. Hayworth. And I think really what you can see last night, the most important trend, was of the higher Republican turnout, I have to say. I mean, 50% higher in on the Republican side than the Democratic in Florida when you had really tough races all around. That's significant.
Is it just that the Republican race was more contested, or
no,
do you think?
That's the thing. They, since all the races were contested, I think that it really does send a message to the Democrats that this business of the enthusiasm gap is real and that they need to do something to light a fire under their people and to bring home those folks who were so excited about Obama in 08 if they want to win these elections.
And Florida, of course, is a state that is always seen as a bellwether.
Right.
Bush versus Gore in 2008. In 2000. Obama won in 2008. Who is Kendrick Meek, the Democratic nominee for Senate now after that election? And
that's right.
What does his victory last night over billionaire Jeff Green tell us about Democrats in Florida?
Well, that was Kendrick Meek started, ended the election, the primary season, pretty much as he began it, only poorer. He was favored in the beginning, then, oh no, here comes Jeff Green, the self-funded billionaire who's going to take it away from him. Kendrick Meek easily beat him in the end, and one of the big reasons, despite all the money Green, of his own money, Green pumped into the race, was that it turns out he made his money by betting against the housing market, so that when a lot of folks lost their homes, he made his fortune, and that didn't. So I think that was pretty particular to that race. But Kendrick Meek is a 43-year-old Miami congressman, son of Carrie Meek, former congresswoman, very popular, but has a really tough race ahead of him with both the Republican Marco Rubio, who's not just the Tea Party favorite, but also the former Speaker of the Florida House, and the incumbent, who's now independent, Charlie Crist.
Was Rubio, well, Rubio's name comes up so often. If you listen to conservative media, for example, Rubio, as a Tea Party candidate, seems to be the poster boy, and yet I gather that he's been moderating his message recently. Is that what you see?
I don't know that it's so much that he's been moderating his message as that the only thing that got out about him initially was Tea Party, Tea Party, Tea Party, and really he's been... I don't know. I don't mean mainstream as a pejorative, but as the former Speaker of the Florida House, he has credentials. He's not an out-of-nowhere kind of guy.
And a record that true Tea Partiers could also shoot at if they wanted, I presume.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And when I said incumbent Charlie Crist, I want to make clear he's running for the Senate and is governor, a job he could have kept.
Right, and he's a Republican, was a Republican, and he saw that he was going to lose to Marco Rubio because of that conservative surge, and so he declared himself
was chased out of his party
independent.
By Rubio, and also a lot of his then-fellow Republicans didn't take much to seeing him literally embracing Barack Obama when he came to visit Florida.
All right, let's leave Florida and head from the far southeast corner of the country all the way to the northwest corner, Alaska. Here we have some murky Murkowski results. actually, clear-cut news. A longtime Senator, Lisa Murkowski, is locked in a dead heat with a Tea Party insurgent. It's separated by like 200 votes right now, right?
Right, right. That's a really interesting race. And one of the things that was interesting there is how far off the polling is. There's not a lot of, there's usually under-polling in Alaska, but nonetheless, this was thought to be Murkowski's night all the way. And, you know, people had already written a story about poor Sarah Palin, you know, her pick loses again. This doesn't look so good for her. Well, not exactly.
Now explain this. Sarah Palin had endorsed Lisa Murkowski, but the other candidate was considered the Tea Party candidate?
Sarah Palin endorsed Joe Miller, the Tea Party favorite. He was from Kansas. He's a war hero. He went to West Point. He's a lawyer in Fairbanks. And so Murkowski, because the incumbent, who was appointed to her position by her own father, was so far up in the polls that people were already saying, were already laughing and saying this is another defeat for Palin because she had endorsed the insurgent Joe Miller.
And Palin and Murkowski have a long time
rivalry. Blood. That's right.
Bad blood. I want to go to Arizona where John McCain did hold off his challenger from the right, but he had to spend a boatload of money to
do so.
Any lessons here, or simply a matter of an incumbent prevailing after a hard-fought primary?
I think that's right. I mean, he, you know, he gave a really testy interview to our reporter Jill Lawrence about a week ago when Jill said just the sight of her seemed to set him off, and he was raving about the liberal Eastern press and that he wouldn't catch a break and a lot of other things. So he has not been talking to his press, to the media, which used to be referred to as his base. And his win in his local paper, the Arizona Republic, was played below the fold this morning. But he has a really interesting opponent in the fall, a young guy, Rodney Glassman, the Democrat, who, I don't know, the guy has about six advanced degrees. He's a lawyer. He has a Ph.D. in arid land resources. He has an MBA. He was a JAG lawyer. He was a Hill aide, the vice mayor of Tucson. He speaks Spanish. He started a charity for poor kids, and he's only 32 years old.
But wait a minute. A Ph.D. versus a war hero. We know who usually wins that race in the United States. And
that's
in Arizona.
Exactly right. He may try to hush up one or two of them.
And in Arizona, with all that's going on there with the immigration law and everything, you think the Democrat has a chance against John McCain?
Definitely. Our story today, the headline was David versus Goliath. But he is a very interesting guy. And he was in the, you know, he's a JAG lawyer himself, so he does have a military background as well.
So your site posted a piece yesterday about how the real storyline this fall is the governor's races, that more and more in this era of Senate gridlock, governors are making key policy decisions around the country. Do you agree? Are these the races we should really be talking about?
Well, I think that what our writer Luke Cannon was saying is that we're going to, that is one of the easier to call shifts at this point, that no one really knows who's going to win the House. It's far out, but that the tea leaves are a lot easier to read on the gubernatorial level, where there are 37 governors' races, and majority of them certainly look like they're going to the Republicans.
So looking at McCain's victory, Rubio's victory, the tie in Alaska, is the lesson that voters actually vote, you know, for the candidate in front of them rather than along some media-level storyline about Obama versus the Tea Party?
It does seem to be that. I mean, it's sort of hilarious, really, that every time we think we get a handle on the narrative, because we got to have a narrative, the voters are telling us, not really. So I think that's okay to stay humble. And how great if everyone looks at the race in front of them and the candidates who are on the ballot instead of it needing to fit into some larger trend.
All right. So. Well, we thank Melinda Henneberger, editor-in-chief of PoliticsDaily.com. I have a feeling we'll be speaking a few times between now and November 2nd.
I hope so, Brian. Thanks a lot.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. We continue to talk politics after a break. We have all three candidates who want to run against Kirsten Gillibrand in the fall. One of them is a Tea Party candidate, but we'll talk to all three. Stay tuned.